what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Another episode of Hard Factor presented by the Barstool News Network. It is Thursday, Super Thursday, March 5th,
hell yeah,
2020. Yeah, and Pat is, since we're finally to Super Thursday, Pat will give us a Super Tuesday election update finally. If you didn't catch our live stream on Tuesday night, which shame on you if you didn't, because it was
yeah,
fantastic.
If you weren't one of the 71,000.
Hey guys, yeah. I want to make something clear. We are going to try on future shows where we do a live stream. We're going to try to give you the update of what happened that evening on the next morning show.
Yes, we've gotten a lot of feedback asking for that. So what we are being asked to do, not they're not asking us to do this, but what we would have to do is do the live show and then do a podcast later.
Like afterwards, yeah. So it's good.
Late into the night,
we might gear these a little bit differently in the future, and we might use a different platform
because we love you. We try to get our stream
a little fresher too.
We want to give you guys the best stuff. Yeah,
I blame Spectrum.
And then, so Pat's going to give us the Super Thursday update, and then Mark, Wes, and I'll take us through a lightning round of other headlines. Get us going, Pat.
All right, guys. Super Tuesday is over. And the results were unexpected, to say the least, as 14 states opened up the polls for primary voting in the presidential election, amongst other different elections that were going on there. And Uncle Joe Biden mopped
15 states in one territory.
It was 14 states, one territory.
Was it 14 and one?
Yeah, 14 and one. Yeah, the Samoa always throws people off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. Not quite a state,
gotcha,
but they do produce a lot of units, so they're an important territory. Uncle Joe Biden mopped the floor with the other candidates in the Democratic field, which is surprising. Most of all to Joe, who couldn't quite figure out how he won 2 days before the votes were even cast. But I'm sure he'll be put at ease today, being that it's Thursday and he remains victorious.
Right. Yeah. And for those that don't remember, Joe Biden said Super Thursday.
On Monday, I believe. Yes. Sunday or Monday. He called it Super Thursday.
Classic gaffe.
Yeah. Right. So now his brain has finally caught up to his body.
Caught up. And he's not asking any questions. Yeah. He's not asking. He's just, yesterday was really nerve wracking for him because he was just a little bit confused because he thought, did they go back in time and vote? Did they go forward in time? How did this happen?
But kudos to Joe. He did well.
But it's Thursday, Joe, and you're the winner. So Joe took Alabama roll Biden. Arkansas, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Kakalaki, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Virginia, and perhaps most surprisingly, Texas.
Texas. He took the whole South. The whole South.
And Massachusetts was surprising.
And Massachusetts and Minnesota, yeah.
I agree. And in total, the forgetful fellow from Delaware picked up 380 delegates, bringing his estimated total to 433. That's a lot of delis. And in a rousing victory speech, Joe demonstrated his aptitude for diversity and confusion by mistaking his wife for his sister in a slip that America hopes was not Freudian.
Yeah. Do you think that they actually switched sides or...
No, he was like, you switched on me. Yeah, they clearly didn't switch on him.
They switched on me. They pulled the old switcheroo on Joe.
Do
people just not care that he's lost his mind? Is that the
No, they
apparently
don't.
Not.
They don't.
People just literally don't care that he's senile.
So I'll definitely say Trump, when Trump was running, he was the oldest president running. And I think it was the first time we saw someone that old. Right, running for president, like and winning, so we were like, oh
in
man,
a while, in a while, yeah.
There was some, like, yeah, the so there's some things days. Trump was doing that you were like, I don't know if his brain's all there. Biden's like 10 times worse than that.
Oh well, yeah, like it's not even the same. I don't even consider them the same level mentally these days because Trump can speak in complete sentences.
That's so true. But I will say, in that last debate, when they asked the candidates, what do you think is a misconception about you? And Uncle Joe pulled out his charm pants, did a little wink and gun at the camera, was like, that I have more hair than I do. And I was like, bam, back on top.
He's charming.
What a charmer. Luckily for Joe.
But you know what's not charming is that how the party had to align behind him to get him the nomination. That's not going to be charming for all those Bernie supporters who are going to get butthurt for 8 years in a row now.
Absolutely. A lot of dejected Americans today, no matter what party you're a fan of. I think we can all agree that right now the candidates that are preaching change are a lot of times the more attractive candidates, the anti-establishment guys, and Biden is not one of those guys. So I think there's a lot of people feeling left out in the cold and just kind of confused. Back to Joe's speech. Luckily for Joe, his wife was in fact actually there because a couple of protesters rushed the stage and Jill, his wife, went full Michael Orr, protecting her husband from what would have certainly been a career-ending concussion.
Hottie and protective.
Yeah, close
she's,
call there.
She's a winner.
Close call there.
Good Joe knows that, Joe's, yeah. So if I think that's, and again, like, going back to Joe, I don't want to sound whiny. I think that a lot of the people think that Joe will pick a lot of Jills to surround him. And that's why they're going for Joe, because
but he's at the middle of it. Yeah. That's the thing about a general election that people don't seem to be grasping. Everything is
a lot of hope.
Party. Yeah, everything's party versus party till you get to a general election. Then it's person versus person.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't want to beat a dead horse.
No.
We'll continue to. Yeah.
Something weird happened the other day. I think a lot of people. It's name recognition. That's always interesting to see where name recognition goes. Biden's obviously got the most name recognition out of anyone. Also, you know, for some reason, the last couple of weeks, people stopped talking about climate change. And I don't know. Something weird happens when elections come close to happening.
Well, Pat, I mean, what happened was the orders came down from the top of the party to
right.
for everybody, for Amy and Pete to get out of the race and then endorse Joe, and then for every single local rep in those states to go out and tell their constituents to vote for Joe Biden or else you won't get campaign funding in the future. I mean, it was just a calculated move and it worked out. It's incredible that it worked out. I mean, it's cold-blooded. They're being rewarded for it. So,
well, who knows if it'll work out for America?
Progressives like Beto O'Rourke and revolutionaries, I should say, like Beto O'Rourke, self-proclaimed, and progressives like Andrew Yang on CNN were just sucking on Biden's wiener and the DNC's wiener because they're toeing the line, too. They're all toeing
like
the line.
It didn't happen. Yeah. They have to all pretend it didn't happen, but it did, obviously.
The DNC,
on our faces.
The DNC just endorsed Trump is what they did.
Right? Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it.
They're just running scared. Anyway, guys, some but not enough states were feeling the burn, leaving Bernie Sanders understandably frustrated. Burn Dog won the powerhouse that is California. He won the Mormon stronghold that is Utah. He won smoke weed every day, Colorado.
Are you allowed to vote shirtless in California?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in their state constitution. And he won Vermont. So whoops. He picked up a respectable 388 delegates, bringing his estimated total to, let me get the estimated number for you guys.
No, I think he's at 388.
He picked
total.
Up 308.
388.
Excuse me.
Yeah. He had like 50 something before. He's behind Joe, and he lost to Joe overall in delegate count on Tuesday, and he was behind to go in, and now he's behind by like 50 delegates.
It's crazy. And things would have been really different, too, if it weren't for that pesky Warren, who's like an anchor dragging down the USS Bernie. Let's kick it over to the other candidates. Like all rich kids who don't win things, Michael Bloomberg pretended that he'd lost interest in the game and officially dropped out of the race on Wednesday.
Yeah, he's now bragging about how much money he's going to spend on Joe Biden.
Right, exactly. He unfortunately, he broke the gigantic oversized hearts of American Samoa, who voted Bloomberg as their choice handily. Number two, Tulsi Gabbard in that state, want to go to Samoa, want to hang out there. They got some interesting ideas.
He ran so many ads in American Samoa that they were like North Korea out there. They thought he was probably like the new like God.
They thought he was God.
Yeah.
They're like looking up in the sky.
Yeah. But guys, I think it's time
statues of Bloomberg popping up.
Well, they just got the one channel.
Yeah.
He dominated the marketplace. Let's take some time to look back at Bloomberg's bizarre campaign. So Stop and Frisk Mike was in the race for roughly 118 days, spending a staggering $570 million of his own. Cash on his campaign, mostly in the advertising space. That breaks down to about 4.8 million cheeses a day, or roughly 68 million cheeses for each one of his nine delegates. And look, guys, I'm not saying those nine delegates aren't sick. They're sick. But for a moment, let's explore what Mike could have gotten instead of those nine delegates. So he could have bought every single American a McChicken.
That was a great tweet, though, that we got the person that thought that
a million
was $1 million each.
No,
bad math.
It's a dollar and a half each.
$1, yeah. Dollar and change.
Yeah, McChicken with some ranch sauce. Or according to feedingamerica.com, he could have fed a million hungry families for a year. He could have built 33 Mount Rushmores of himself, which I bet in 200 years or so would have achieved the same effect as winning president, because people would have thought that he was president.
Mount Rushmore is pretty cheap.
Yep. Well,
yeah,
and
that's
I did the
really
inflation.
Cheap. I would think that you'd have to spend all that money to build a new Mount Rushmore.
33 of them. I did the inflation calculation as well. Wow. He could have purchased the Weather Channel twice.
Here's one I found that I thought was interesting. He could have won like the Mega Millions or Powerball. If he purchased every combination, which is like $303 million, he could have easily won either the Mega Millions or Powerball if he just waited till it was over $303 million. So he could have won both of them essentially by buying all of the combinations. Cause he,
oh, wow.
Cause,
yeah.
Dangerous situation there, though, Mark, is you might have to share the jackpot.
True.
Yeah. So
they outlawed that after that Australian dude did it. I think he did it to the Virginia lottery way back in the day. He bought
less combos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Less combos in Australia. Yep. Anyway, guys, all those things would have been better uses of his money than this. Let's chat Warren for a second. I think her defeat on Tuesday was best summed up by CNN's Dana Bash, who said, quote, and she's talking about Warren's loss in Massachusetts. She lost to a man who never even campaigned in her state. Mm. She's the senior senator in Massachusetts. It's an embarrassing defeat. But instead of calling it, Warren gave a speech on Tuesday evening vowing to never give up and probably talking about how she once wanted to be a teacher. Problem is, guys, with
until
coronavirus,
Thursday.
I know. With coronavirus afoot, though, there's no way that Warren can sustain her main outreach program of taking selfies with everyone with a phone.
She didn't take selfies after the defeat. It was the first time ever. She just got on the plane.
No selfie line? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, that's bad.
The campaign's over. Campaign's she's quitting.
Hang the boots up, lady. So here we are, guys. Uncle Joe looking like he's going to get the nomination, right? Well, maybe. But the New York Times poll aggregator currently has Sanders still leading in terms of popularity at 28% with Biden at 17, Warren at 14. So imagine how good Bernie will look.
Yeah. I mean, if Warren drops, so the future of the race is if Warren drops, you know, Bernie has a chance to have a huge Tuesday next week with Michigan, because he's got, I know he's got a like not maybe not a huge amount of following there, but a very strong following in Michigan. So, like, you know, he could make a bounce back and make this thing.
I think Biden wins it even if Warren doesn't drop out, and I don't think Warren's dropping out anytime soon.
If, right. Yeah, we'll see.
That's a big. It's Warren is the linchpin of the.
I don't think
thing.
Warren likes Sanders that much. Remember they got in that tiff. We were talking about that earlier.
And our boy Tom Steyer tried to break it up because he's a peacemaker. Yeah. RIP Tom Steyer.
I don't think she's dropping out.
Trump won every state handily. In other news, Washington. In other Washington news, Chief Justice John Roberts released a statement chastising Chuck Schumer's comments at a rally that he made. There was a rally for abortion rights advocates, and he said, quote, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. And John Roberts came out essentially saying that that was a threat, and what you're doing there is emboldening people to incite violence. People are pissed.
Yeah, it was a crazy. This is about Schumer's speech.
Yeah,
that was a crazy speech. After he got off the stage, you should check out the videos of what they were screaming right after he got off the stage. That I'm not going to repeat it.
Compliments?
I would get in trouble.
Compliments?
No, it was like it was pretty nuts.
Well, we'll check the video, guys. And hey, real quick, if you want to make a little bit of money with us, you can gamble on these primary elections that are continuing through the next month or so. You just got to go to predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. It's the website where you can gamble on the news and politics in a stock market format. If you go to that unique URL I just mentioned and you deposit $20, we will match your first $20 deposit. Us four are Alpha Cash Dads.
Big Thicket debuts this week.
Big Thicket debuts on our Friday show. It's our pick show, our predicted pick show. So we'll tune into that if you want our picks on how to make some money. But it's predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20.
Mm. Sweet. All right, I'm back. And I'm going to talk about the coronavirus. I'm back on Corona.
Okay.
Because I'm not scared of it. I'm sick of it, but I'm not scared of it. I hope all of our wildly public events go through at South By in a few weeks. So today, I'm going to do a literal lightning round of Corona news. All bad, pretty much all bad. So the World Health Organization declared that the coronavirus mortality rate is 3.4%, higher than previously reported. The rate is low, like well below 1% for people that aren't infants or elderly, but that's higher than was, you know, expected. South Korea confirmed 3 new deaths and 438 new cases. Yeah, what's that, Will?
Oh, nothing. It's very low. Like it's like one in one. Our age group is like one in a thousand.
1/10 of a percent.
Die.
Yeah. 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 South Korea confirmed 3 new deaths and 438 new cases of coronavirus on Wednesday. That's 35 deaths and almost 6,000 cases for them. 14 new cases of coronavirus in Malaysia. Italy is closing every single one of their schools and universities across the country from today until at least March 15th to try and slow down the spread of the virus. The Pope tested negative. Here's the good news. The Pope tested negative for coronavirus after he fell ill and canceled events days after showing solidarity being near coronavirus victims. So thank God. Lockheed Martin suspended work at the F-35 fighter jet factory in Japan as the virus continues to spread there with well over 1,000 confirmed cases. The House of Reps passed an $8.3 billion coronavirus response relief package on yesterday, and the Senate will vote on that today probably because the U.S. has 158 confirmed cases of coronavirus at the time of this recording. Also, there are 11 passengers and 10 crew members on the Grand Princess cruise ship, which departed from San Francisco on February 21st, that are symptomatic for corona, likely from the virus just being on the ship. It was just floating around on the ship. I'm going on a cruise this summer. And now, super fun and popular multi-day house music festival Ultra has been canceled later this month in Miami. So just do your drugs at home, I guess.
It's not the same.
Yeah. The new James Bond movie release has been pushed 6 months out to fall because of coronavirus fear, causing low estimated turnouts in theaters this spring. But jokes on them, as some doctors and scientists think that, like the Spanish flu of 1918, the coronavirus might come back in the fall. That second round was the deadliest round for the Spanish flu, and we don't think we will have a vaccine until the third round next spring or later. So fun stuff. No one knows where the Spanish flu came from, guys. And no one knows where the coronavirus came from. It wasn't bat soup, and it wasn't. So just stop, like, you know, being racist and xenophobic to Asian and Chinese people. I know none of our listeners are, but also don't let that shit fly around if you see it. We're all getting this fucking virus, and it's global now. So stop with that nonsense.
It's like HPV.
It is what it is. There you
just
go.
Just relent to the HPV.
Boom. Fuck you, coronavirus.
Yeah. What do you think they're going to do with that $8.3 billion? They're going to, like, print flyers to hand around, like, hey, don't touch things in public, but you got to touch this flyer.
I think they're going to print.
That would be effective.
I think they're going to pay 3M to print masks.
I think they should ask Mike Bloomberg what the best way to spend
that
money
might be. You know what they should do with this coronavirus, honestly, is just kind of, you know, it's going to happen. Just get ready. Take your medicine.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't
you? Everyone that's saying it's not as bad as the common flu. Shut the fuck up. Realize it's pretty bad. You're gonna get it. You'll probably survive.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to the news today, and there was a guy that runs a home for old people, you know, retirement home or whatever, and he was like, yeah, under the direction of the president, we're no longer going to concentrate on abuse and neglect. We're just solely going to concentrate on the coronavirus. So, you know, nobody's going to get coronavirus in these old homes, but they're all going to be, you know, neglected and abused, according to this guy.
Well, it's old people it's going after, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to give a little bit of context here. So in the 2018 to 2019 flu season, about 35 million people got the flu, 34,000 died. This flu season, an estimated 32 million people have gotten the flu, with 18,000 deaths. So a lot of people die from the flu. A lot.
You know who shouldn't get the flu?
The flu is not comparable to the coronavirus. The coronavirus is about 34 times more deadly, and it's just round one of this motherfucker.
The coronavirus
it's a pandemic.
Well, you just
it is by far the worst thing since the Spanish flu.
It would be.
And we better hope it's not going to come back in the fall mutated, because it's you can't even fucking. It's not in the same ballpark. People comparing it to the common flu are assholes.
Hmm. Well, you know who's gonna have trouble with this thing is either of the Democratic frontrunners if they catch it. So let's move it on to Space Mountain. We got to get it going. Where I've been sitting at the top of Space Mountain, smoking weed, reading space stories, and teasing my brain with all the new possibilities lurking in the cosmos this week. Shout out, listener Charles, Hard Hive leader Charles, for tossing these over my direction. First up. Scientists say that they have discovered the very first protein of extraterrestrial origin from a meteorite known as ACFIR 086. That sounds pretty ominous. It hit Algeria 30 years ago and contains the protein hemolothin. Inside the hemolothin are iron and lithium, the two building blocks for life. So we've got alien proteins just slamming into the Earth's surface now all the time. Sounds great, huh, guys?
Well, I think you got that confused. The building blocks for life, the two of them, it's an egg and semen.
You're incorrect. It is the two that the scientists said are the building blocks for life.
I don't know.
They say that these proteins are similar to the ones that we already have on Earth, but nobody is telling me that it's definitely not the start to an alien invasion where the proteins take over the scientists' bodies and then the scientists slowly infiltrate our society, you know, in like a Nairobi type scheme. So you always got to be careful out there. Make sure to use a lot of Purell. Don't get the coronavirus. Make sure you're looking for people with lizard eyes. So don't trust them. So you got to, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe get a good pair of sunglasses.
If you see a 90-year-old survive the coronavirus, it's because they're an alien.
That's true. It's a really good weed out system, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you just want to be careful because we have extraterrestrial proteins lurking around on Earth. You don't know what these things could do. Next up, scientists have wowed us once again with their big brains. They spend a lot of time looking for new Earths or new habitable planets since we're allegedly destroying this one too fast. Well, they've now confirmed the existence of G940b, only 90 light years from Earth. Basically our next door neighbor in the cosmic sense.
Sure.
The researchers used the Habitable Zone Planet Finder, or HPF, in Texas to confirm the planet's presence, which was first spotted in 2019 by the Kepler. So
yeah, it was spotted by a scientist that was already taken over by an alien, and he just magically found this planet.
Well, no, they've been scanning. I'm kind of unimpressed by this, actually. They scan constantly the sky looking for these Earth-like habitable planets. This one's so close to us, and they just now found it in 2019. It's terrible.
Yeah, they're lazy. Hey, yeah. Will, by the way, have they said whether or not you can smoke those alien proteins or not?
Or eat them?
If you smoke it, I'm putting you in a chamber and probably blowing your brains out after whatever
happens. Will's going to come find you.
It's pretty square, you Will.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, this is what the scientists say about this new habitable planet. Quote, G940b is amongst top 20 closest transiting planets known, which makes this discovery really exciting. Further, due to its large transit depth, G940b is an excellent candidate exoplanet to study its atmospheric composition with future space telescopes.
I mean, what are the chances they're just making this shit up to keep their jobs at this point?
That would be very high.
Yeah,
very high.
I think very high too.
And if so, they need to hire me. I'd like that.
Similar to Earth, like it's just like a same colors, same. Oh, yeah. The continents are shifted a little bit.
Nobody can really check their information.
There's two moons.
I think I found out from doing this job that if Hard Factor doesn't work out, I'm just going to start like a space blog. Yeah. And just be like a crazy space blogger.
I'll read it, Will.
Oh yeah, I know. I'll have four readers. you guys in Hardo Hive. So basically, we may have found Elon's next target after Mars. There's also a potential super planet orbiting even closer on a star called Proxima Centauri B. That's only 4.2 light years from Earth. So I don't know why the fuck they're looking at this one 90 light years away. Maybe look at the 4.2. Scientists
with a way cooler name, too. Right. Not G940 pounds, but Proxima Centauri. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't understand. I don't understand why scientists have to be so confusing. There's something 90 light years away. There's something 4.2 light years away.
Wes nailed it. They're making this shit up.
You should write a letter, Will.
Yeah. Well, I'm no scientist. I'm just telling you guys what they said, and that's Space Mountain.
All right.
All right, guys. Slow news day, so we're going to cover this one anyway. Got some good news for alcoholics and drug addicts. It turns out those massive headaches you are suffering from on a daily basis may actually not be related to all your substance abuse, and instead could be a direct impact from all the time you spend on your smartphone, not to be confused with dumb phones that can only call and text. So a study of 400 people in Indiana that regularly suffered from various headaches, such as migraines and tension headaches, which I think are the same as orgasm headaches. And if you've ever had one of those, you know, they can ruin your day.
Yeah, you have high blood pressure and you come a little too hard.
Yeah.
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Watch out.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you get a fucking headache. That's what that is.
Yeah, drink your water.
Man.
Yeah, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
It's a real thing, and it hurts. anyway, They took these people and asked them about their cell phone use, and lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, those little smartphones you hold close to your brain as they beam countless invisible death rays to and from space right next to your noggin can actually cause your headaches to worsen. And smartphone users are more likely to take pain meds with less relief from headaches than people who can't afford smartphones.
What? Can we stop saying smartphone users in 20? I mean, it's everybody, right? You just said
humans.
Anybody who can afford them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, anyone that can afford the smartphone study.
Homeless people have smartphones.
They do. I see them all the time. I think their families pay for them, and so they can check and find out if they're alive.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So when separated into two groups, group one being people with smartphones and group two being people who still use phones that can only place calls and texts, the study found that while 96% of smartphone users were more likely to use pain meds, only 81% of outdated cell phone users were taking pain meds. However, there was absolutely no difference between the two groups in how often they got headaches, how long they lasted, and how severe they were.
This is a bullshit study.
Yeah, it's bullshit study.
Shit's garbage.
It is garbage.
Yeah, I'm doing everything wrong. I just need a car to hit me, like a bus to hit me and just kill me instantly.
Are you getting headaches when you have sex?
I'm on my phone 7 hours a day. I'm drinking. I'm smoking weed.
Right.
I'm not doing anything right.
Right.
Well, I'm not doing anything right.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, Marcus. Oh, I mean, the study did find that, like, okay, so you know, smartphone users, the new, it's called like a text neck or something where everyone's looking down, which can add strain to the spine, which can then, you know, cause more headaches, eye strain because you're just looking at this fucking screen all day. I know probably I'm not alone that I get in frequent arguments with my girlfriend about how much time I'm on my phone. And, you know, so we did like the screen time test of like who's on the phone more. And the number is just embarrassing about how much time I'm actually on the cell phone. If you really want to find out how pathetic you know, you are, turn on screen time on your iPhone.
And our jobs sort of requires to be on phones a lot. So
it is,
you know,
I've been
when you compare it to your productivity, you know,
right.
One of these days, I hope the cell phone just has my brain explode instantly.
That'd be sweet.
7 hours a day on the screen.
Yeah. So, you know, nothing here to change anything really, but, you know, something to think about, guys. So
crazy. We got to muddle through this last round.
All right. You guys are all familiar with smoking, yeah?
Yeah, of course. Yep. Love it.
Also with the term and concept of secondhand smoke. You guys familiar with that?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
it was hung at my house when we were kids.
Turns out now we have to worry about third-hand smoke, which is the type of smoke that sticks to like your clothes and like the walls of buildings and shit. A new study out of Yale University says that third-hand smoke is the tobacco contaminants that adhere to walls, bedding, carpet, and other surfaces until a room smells like an ashtray.
That's still secondhand smoke.
Right. I guess the smoke's not technically floating in the air.
Because it's settled. It's become tar on the ceiling. Yeah. Now it's third-hand smoke.
It's complete bullshit. Well,
it's
apparently
still
third-hand
smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, apparently third-hand smoke is... Right. Yeah. It's common in movie theaters, as that's where the study took place. The nerds spent 4 days testing samples they found, and they found dangerous chemical levels were less in G-rated movies than in R-rated movies. Right. How about working on the coronavirus or anything else, you fucking assholes? Third-hand smoke, are you kidding me?
Yeah. They did a study so that they could make up this term that they wanted to make up before they started the study.
What's next? I mean, first of all, everyone that went into a bowling alley between 1960 and 2005 has three eyes.
Yeah. I was conceived in a bowling alley.
Right? Like third hand smoke. What's next? Fourth hand smoke? Is that from a smoker's shit and piss? You catch it in the public restroom?
Right.
Unreal. This is from Yale, for Christ's sake.
Oh my God.
No, well, Harvard.
Yale, thanks for that, Yale. That's the kind of studies you're approving these days. One of the world's finest institutions. All right, let's take it over to another one of the world's finest institutions. This time it's for real, the World Championship of Cheese. So we were talking about the Democratic Party earlier, talking about the DNC. That's going to be this summer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But first, and definitely more importantly, the title of World's Cheese Champion needs to be crowned in the Badger State this week. So also,
I'd love to be cheese champion.
Yeah, cheese champion, awesome. Badger State, awesome nickname too. So
I bet you get a lot of chicks too.
Pretty cool. Wisconsin definitely gets some chicks. On Tuesday in Wisconsin, a record 3,667 entries from 26 nations started the process of letting 55 judges taste, sniff, and inspect the 132 classes of dairy products belonging to the biennial World Championship Cheese Contest. The judges include cheese graters, cheese buyers, dairy science, professors and researchers from 19 nations and 14 states. They do a more detailed evaluation than other cheese competitions with a 100-point scoring system that looks at 36 potential defects. It's like a car inspection for cheese.
So I'm going to guess all these cheeses are in the 90s.
I could get into the cheese.
They should have just done a 10 point scale.
It should be 90 and up. You shouldn't be able to enter if you're not.
Come on.
I mean, it is the
what
world.
What cheese are you
going
to give an 89 to? Come on.
But maybe they have to have a because 36 potential defects. Some of these cheeses might be getting 50s, 60s. I mean, that's a lot of dings you could get.
These guys are making up defects like the scientists making up planets. Get it?
Yale people make up.
I always cover the scientists. I always cover the scientists who are just making up their own facts. The last time this competition was held in 2018, a hard sheep's milk cheese called Esquiro, definitely not saying that right, made in France at Moulin Fromagerie, won top honors. And this year's winner will be crowned today, this Thursday. Watch it live tonight at 8:15 p.m. Central at www.worldchampionshipcheese.org.
I absolutely will.
I wonder why they took 2019 off, you know?
It happened to biennial competition.
Biennial.
Okay. Big prize.
Exactly. It's like the World Cup of cheese. And although they're not worried about the coronavirus spread at this time, extra hand sanitizers have been strategically placed throughout the competition grounds in Madison. So cheese on, baby. Enjoy the cheese champion.
That's an event you can't count.
Will, may I say that the 4 years you spent in French immersion really paid off on that story.
For that one word, for that one name of the French cheesery. Yeah. I can actually speak French too, Pat. Do you speak any other languages?
No, I know. It's great to hang when we travel Europe because you can order beers for us.
Well, it also expands the brain, you know? Lets you think a little bit more than what your one close-minded Lib Big J view.
He could have a two-sentence combo.
I'm fluent. Cheese I can King. Speak French.
Uh-huh. Where's the cheese?
None of you guys could speak another language.
Okay.
You uncultured fucks.
Un poquito, Will. Un poquito.
So, touched a nerve.
He's proud of his language.
Guys, normally businesses follow the old adage, the customer is always right. It's a good rule of thumb, though it has been disappearing slowly and surely over the decades. It is still a good principle to live by. However, one Olive Garden manager in Indiana should have thought a little harder before adhering to that adage with one customer, because the customer was a raging bigot, and trying to appease his racist request got the manager fired for racial discrimination. So what happened is that a racist piece of shit walked into the Olive Garden and requested that the manager provide her with a server that, quote, wasn't black to serve her a hot cup of water. And
So this is a pretty common request in Olive Garden. So I'm pretty surprised that this manager didn't have this in his training manual and know how to react.
You think it's common for Olive Garden?
Just saying. What was last?
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, that's a real shot at Olive Garden patrons. Yeah.
Oh, bro, and I'll fucking take a shot.
What is that supposed to mean?
Everybody that goes to Olive Garden's racist. You know that.
Olive Garden is not what you remember it to be. I promise you that.
And the hot water?
Get in there. You will be surprised.
Oh, man.
I had a great experience not too long ago at Olive Garden. Anyway,
bilingual people and Olive Garden patrons need to watch the fuck out.
Pat's gazing you down. Yeah.
Anyway, being the idiot the Olive Garden manager is, he said, "No problem, ma'am. Billy here will take care of you." No, he didn't say that. But it, which, of course, goes against Olive Garden's racial discrimination in the workplace policy. The customer then really started to show the main root of her problem, and that is that she was completely insane. She began yelling at the hostess, Amy Donahue, telling another employee that Donahue should go work at a strip club, referred to her as the other one, and asked if Donahue was black or from America, because surely she couldn't be both in this deranged woman's head. Yeah, and she's like a time traveler from the South in the 1800s.
You call me an elitist?
Classic Olive Garden.
This woman's an elitist.
Just a classic patron of Olive Garden right here.
Just your everyday Olive Garden.
I'm telling you, man, it's different today.
Yeah, Olive Garden is going to suffer from this one. Anyway, in a statement from Olive Garden, they said, "We have zero tolerance for discrimination of any kind, and the manager involved no longer works for our company." I mean, clearly the manager's a moron who was just trying to avoid a big scene, but obviously you should have just kicked the old bitch out instead of adhering to her racist request. It's weird to me. The NAACP is on it.
The customer's always right, though, Wes.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what they say. But when you know when she's a racist piece of shit,
unless
you kind of got to
racist.
You got to stick up for your...
If you're, are you a customer if you order a hot water? I don't think so.
Yeah, not technically. That's a good call.
Yeah,
I don't think she was a customer yet.
Yep.
Yeah, not yet.
They should make that rule. You know what? They should print that rule on restaurants. If you just order a water, you're not a customer.
Yeah, it does not give
you
the right to be racist.
We're going to treat you like shit until you put an app.
Now, if you get the taste of Italy, you spout off at the mouth.
Was it the tour of Italy?
With whatever you...
Then you're faced with a real dilemma.
Yeah, if you're spending $16.99 on an entree at Olive Garden...
Have you been to Olive Garden?
We'll give you any race of waiter you want.
Yes.
Okay.
I've been within the last year.
Well...
I go to check in with America.
People know where we live.
So does that
so
make
specifically
you
specifically referring to Austin, Texas Olive Garden patrons?
Talk about the one at Lamar in 71.
Yeah.
That's one of two left, I think.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, that's going to do it for Hard Factor. Thank you again for listening. We will have another live debate stream for the debates next week, right? I assume after the elections this weekend, the primaries this weekend on the 10th. So we'll have a little more information there. Subscribe on YouTube. All of our videos are coming out daily there now. So if you want to see just how fat we are and how good looking we are, go check out the podcast there. It's a great way to ingest it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, 512-270-1480. It's now in our bios on Twitter. So if you want to leave us a phone message on that, please do. And we will get to some maybe Friday. And most importantly, have a great fucking day.
See you later.
At the Olive Garden Italian restaurant, we speak a different language. We have no words for can't and won't. No phrases for a little less. In fact, we don't know the meaning of enough. Some would say speaking a different language can make all the difference in the world. The Olive Garden Italian restaurant, where all the best of Italy is yours. Come back for the endless refills of salad and garlic breadsticks that make us special.